بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Okay. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the name of Allah, At-Tawwab. And the question is, what's the meaning of At-Tawwab as a word? It means, you know, do you know the meaning of the word Tawbah? Tawbah, repentance. At-Tawwab is the one who makes you repent. The one who makes you repent. Now, Allah is At-Tawwab, meaning that Allah is the one who makes you repent. How would Allah make you repent? Okay. I'll give you an example. If you do something wrong, how would your parents make you repent?
Huh? Punish you or make you, like, explain the reasons that you did wrong and then help you realize that what you did was a mistake.
That's right. Go ahead.
They make you apologize to whoever you did that to, I guess.
Yes. And,
They make you feel guilty.
Make you feel guilty. All of these are correct. That's true. They do all what you guys said to make sure that you correct yourself. Now, what do you think about the father or the parents that when you do something wrong, they just don't do anything? You think they are good parents?
No.
Why not?
Because you're not learning. They basically don't even care about you or whatever you do, so then you just keep doing it and then...
Exactly. Exactly, that's right. Basically, go ahead.
They don't tell you what's like right or wrong, and then if you continue doing the wrong things...
That's right.
They're not making you learn from your mistakes.
They're not making you learn from your mistakes. All of these are true, correct answers. So the bad parents are the ones who don't punish you when you do something wrong. The good parents are the ones who punish you when you do something wrong. Now, if they don't punish you, then you keep going, you keep doing the wrong things, and you even go to the next step. Like, you do like wrong level one, which is not so bad. Then you go, if they don't punish you, then you go to wrong level
two,
which is really worse. And then you keep going, worse and worse and worse and worse until you basically ruin yourself. Until you ruin yourself, ruin your body, ruin your future, and so forth. You got that part? Okay. So, Allah is which kind? Is He like the... go ahead.
He teaches us from our mistakes, so that like sometimes I want to say like when I take something that's my brother's and I kind of feel like that's not the best thing I should have done, so I just feel like this guilt pound, so then it just makes me want to return it. So basically Allah makes you feel guilty so that you can learn, and if you still don't learn, then like you said, we'll be blinded even more.
Exactly. So Allah will give you like sort of slap on the wrist. Hello, wake up. You did something wrong. Punishment. And then you keep going it, the punishment goes harder. You keep doing it, the punishment goes harder and harder. Okay? And so forth. If Allah doesn't punish you for doing something wrong, then you should worry about yourself. You should really be very concerned and very worried about yourself. Why? Because Allah is not punishing you for doing something wrong. It means Allah considers you to be a bad person. Okay. Now, for doing something wrong, Allah punishes you. Do you feel the punishment all the time?
No.
Not really all the time, but many times you feel the punishment, but not all the time. You think? Go ahead.
Sometimes you like you told us last week about the guy who did so much wrong, but he says like, oh, I've done so wrong, like Allah hasn't punished me yet, even though like his life is like a mess and he's living homeless or something. Like he punishes you in ways that you wouldn't even know that.
Yes, exactly, that's right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could punish you in ways like she said about the children. The guy from the children of Israel who said, Ya Allah, how many times I disobey you and you don't punish me? So Allah sent to the messenger or the prophet at that time, go tell my slave how many times I punish you and you have no, and you don't realize it. Why? Because he was supposed to get, for example, more money okay? Allah take it away from him. And he doesn't know. He was supposed to be happy, but Allah would take it away from him, so he's miserable. He doesn't know that if he didn't do that, he would be alright. But he didn't, but there's no way he can do that. You can't say, if I didn't do the mistake, then nobody tells him. If you didn't do the mistake, then you would have had more money or longer life. You see? Okay. So, let me give you an example of teachers, for example. So Allah is the one who punishes you until you stop. If Allah doesn't punish you, then you're really something seriously wrong with you. That Allah, you know, considers you of sort of no hope. No hope case. Hopeless case. So, now, let me give an example of a teacher. Let's say you have a teacher, okay? And this teacher, okay, it gives you, comes on the first day of classes and says, okay, students, okay, here is the homework, okay, here is what you need to study, and the exam is going to be at the end of the semester. Okay, that's a teacher. Was this teacher fair? Was he fair? Yeah, right? He gave you everything you need. He said, here's the material, here's the homework, and the test is going to be, I'm going to test you at the end of the semester. He's fair. But is he tawwab? No, he's not tawwab. Why? I'm going to tell you the difference between tawwab teacher and no tawwab teacher. If he's tawwab, then he's going to not wait on you to flunk the course. No, he follows up with you. You do the homework, you get encouragements. You don't do the homework, then he gets you in trouble. He gives you detention. He calls your parents. I mean, he does a lot of things to, you know, make you correct yourself and study. You got that? So that's the tawwab teacher. Which teacher is good? The fair teacher or the tawwab teacher? The tawwab teacher. Okay? So that's the one that's good because that teacher really cares about us. Okay? So, there is a time where you can't repent anymore. What is that time? Huh?
Right before you die, when you know like exactly the time you're going to die, like you see the angel of death.
Yes. So, there are two situations. If you are going to witness the day of judgment, then your repentance is closed when the sun rises from the west.
Yeah.
Okay? This is if you are going to witness the day of judgment. But for if you're not going to witness the day of judgment, and if you're going to die, okay, before the day of judgment, then your repentance ends when the soul goes out of the throat. Now, somebody says, can I trick Allah and repent at the last minute?
No, Allah knows your intention.
Exactly. But how would Allah do? What would Allah do if I try to repent in the last minute? Allah will reject the repentance. Allah will refuse the repentance. Do you have an example of a person who tried to do that? Huh?
When Pharaoh was about to die, he started to repent.
Yes. Yeah, when he was like in the starting to choke or drown or drink the water, he said, I believe in the Lord of the children of Israel. And I am a Muslim. So, and I am submitting to Allah. So Allah said, now, and you have been a terrible criminal and you have spread corruption all over the place. Now, you want to repent? So Allah turned his repentance away. Another situation, okay, maybe a person, let's say, a person other than the Pharaoh. Okay? Allah, he's saying, I'm going to repent in the last minute. Or I'm going to repent when I'm 60. Or I'm going to wear my hijab when I'm 60 years old. I'm going to start praying when I'm 60 years old. Got it? So I'll enjoy everything. I'll skip all my prayers and not wearing hijab. All my young life. And I'll start becoming good Muslim. And take Islam seriously after 60. This statement is very risky. Why?
You might die before you're 60.
Yeah, you might die before the age of 60. Okay, and also you might get a sudden death. You know, sudden death is like very quick death, just like a car accident. Boom, and you're dead. You know what I'm saying? Boom, you're dead. That's it. Okay. Do you have a chance to repent? No. Another scenario is that if Allah makes you forget, then you forget to repent before death, because there's so much pain, there is so much trouble you're going through, okay? So Allah wants you to repent. So Allah, so you want to repent, you don't remember that you need to repent. You forget about it. What else? Can you think of another scenario where if you try to trick Allah, Allah will trick you? Another scenario, go ahead.
Oh, it's like the Titanic, would that be a scenario where the guy challenged Allah to, like, saying that the ship would never sink, that God can't even sink it, but then Allah sunk the ship because he challenged me?
No, that's not what I'm looking for, but go ahead.
I heard this story once that there was this man, and he was like a criminal, and he knew he was going to hell. So then after he died, before he died, he instructed his sons to like burn him and then throw his ashes into the sea so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't be able to like bring him back to life. So then they did it, but then like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back, and then
he was accounted by Allah, yeah. He was judged by Allah. What I'm looking for is that there are scenarios where you don't repent, you forget to repent, or you don't repent when you're old. Allah tricks you. Scenarios where Allah tricks you. You might see the mistake you're doing it as normal. You get used to it. So, for example, there's a lady that I know, and then she has been liberal all her life. Okay, wearing very inappropriate clothes, skipping prayers, and didn't go for Hajj, and all of these things. By the end of her life, she was told that she has 1 month to die. Okay? Now, if somebody tells you have 1 month to die, what would you do?
Cry.
Cry and?
You repent.
Repent, right? And if you haven't done Hajj, you go and do Hajj. If you haven't prayed, you try to pray as much as you can. If you haven't paid zakah, you pay zakah.
Go ahead. If it's not a Muslim, they probably just do whatever they haven't got a chance to do in life yet.
Yes, exactly. The ones, not a Muslim, the ones who think that this life is everything. And you hear the statement that life is too short, we have to enjoy it. But I'm talking about this lady in particular. You know what happened to her? She was given 1 month. She was told that after 1 month she would be dead. And guess.
She didn't do anything.
She said, yeah. She said she got used to what was she doing, that she didn't think she's doing anything wrong. So when you tell her, do this and do that, she says, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay, pray. Oh, no, okay, there's no need. Go for Hajj, you know, she started seeing, she got used to what she's doing, that she's not seeing it wrong anymore. So she doesn't believe that she needs to repent. She says, I'm fine, I'm doing good, I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay, because she got used to that. Okay. Here, I took a picture of the other side. Now, there are people, by the way, who tried from the children of Israel, from the Jews, who tried to trick Allah. Allah said Saturday is a Sabbath day. What do you mean by a Sabbath day?
Sabbath
Yeah, day you're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to do any business on the Sabbath day. Okay? Huh?
Does that also mean like you can't go to school? Or?
Yes, it's a Sabbath day. Saturday for the Jews.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sabbath, Saturday. That's why the name Saturday, Sabbath day. Go ahead.
Wait, just for the Jews? Or?
Yeah, just for the Jews, children of Israel.
Yeah.
So,
Christians, it's Sunday.
Well, the Christians wear Saturday as well. Yes, Prophet Isa that preaches Saturday. However, Augustine is the one who really screwed up Christianity really bad. He's the one who did the worst damage to Christianity. So he was a sun worshiper. Augustine, he was a sun worshiper. Okay, so he tried to keep, to make a middle way between worshiping idols and worshiping Allah. So he said, okay, we have a Sabbath day, yes, but it's going to be Sunday, because he worshiped the sun. He worshiped the sun. So he said it's Sunday instead of Saturday. But anyway, the Saturday, they were not supposed to work or anything. So Allah wanted to test them. Okay? So they were living by the coast, and they were, their main business is to fish. Catch fish and sell them and eat them. That was their business. So what happens is that on Saturday, the fish comes near the coastline, and the fish keeps jumping. It's like, oh my God, Saturday. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Okay. So now, on the other days, other than Sunday, other than Saturday, the fish is where? Woo, all the way deep. So then they lost control of themselves, and they decided to make a trick, to play a trick, to play a game. What was that game? They said, okay, before Saturday, on Saturday, we're going to trap the fish by a net. So we're going to put a net so that the fish can't escape. And then we're going to catch the fish on Sunday.
Oh, wow. For the Jews, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So they say, on Saturday, we're not going to fish. We're just going to put the net around the fish. Okay? You didn't catch any fish? Did I catch any fish? No, I didn't. And then, on Sunday, I catch the fish. Of course, that was trying to play dumb. Okay? Or try to fool Allah. You know, it would be stupid. Or get out of this. So, of course, Allah cursed them. Allah cursed them. Because by them using the net to trap the fish on Saturday, okay, that's a business act. It doesn't matter when they are going to physically catch the fish. When you trap the fish with the net, then that's work, okay? So Allah doesn't like the ones who play tricks with him. Now, let me give you an example of Allah Tawwab in the battle of Mu'tah. Yes.
So the men who caught the fish, how were they cursed? Did they lose the fish or what?
Allah cursed them means Allah excluded them from His mercy.
Oh.
So that's the meaning of curse.
Okay.
Because mercy is the one that takes you to Jannah. You don't qualify to go to Jannah with your deeds. Your deeds will qualify you to get the mercy of Allah. And the mercy of Allah is the one that takes you to Jannah. Got it? So, so what was your question again? I'm sorry.
How did Allah curse
them? Yes, Allah excluded them from His mercy. Cursing means praying to Allah to exclude the person from His mercy is cursing. That's the curse. So, there were a battle called the Battle of Hardship. I think it's the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk. Yes, the Battle of Tabuk. Which is called the Battle of Hardship. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ was going out in a very hot weather. June, July, sort of these very, very... You know what June and July in Mecca and Medina? You're talking about 130.
This is the desert, okay? The desert in the summer. That's what it means. Oh, yeah. I went to some family this summer in Egypt. It was kind of fun.
130 degrees. The sand itself is hot. Like, you walk on the sand barefoot and you really burn your legs. The sun was very hot and it boiled. So it was during a time where it's extremely hot, very hot, and people have no desire to go anywhere or to go out or to travel. Another thing is that it was includes traveling to the place of the enemy. The place of the enemy was the Romans, the Roman Empire, okay? And traveling to them means you travel all the way to the north of the Arabian Peninsula. So when you travel from Medina to the Arabian Peninsula, you're talking about, I would guess, about a month of walking. A month of walking, maybe less than a month, but it's really, really, really long distance walking. And many of the companions didn't have rides. Almost, you know, the rides were very few. People who have horses were very few, or camels were very few, okay? So, and then the third thing is that the enemy is mighty. The enemy is mighty. The Roman Empire was a superpower. So they are going there to fight a superpower. So it was a very, very difficult test. All hypocrites didn't go. They went to the prophet. One says, you know, all the hypocrites didn't go. They just skipped it. They said, we will pass. Okay? And they refused to go among the prophet. However, there were three believers, good believers. Three of them didn't make it. How? One of them is Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik tells us the story. He said, okay, when the prophet said, okay, let's all gather. You know, the way they used to do the war gathering is you go outside of Medina and you make a camp. Okay? And then people join the camp. Until the camp is ready to move, then you move. So the prophet called for the war, so people started gathering in a camp outside Medina and ready to go. And Ka'b said, I don't have to be there now. I can just catch up with them when they leave, when they're about to leave. So now came the day where the army was about to leave. So he said, he was procrastinating. How do you pronounce that? Procrastinating, right? He was procrastinating. So he said, I'm going to catch up with them later. I'm going to be faster. I'm going to be fast and catch up with them. Then he kept postponing it until it became impossible. Impossible to catch them. They are so far. They are too far to catch up with them. So now, what happened is that when the prophet arrived to the north of the Arabian Peninsula, when the prophet arrived there, the Romans heard the news that the prophet is coming with an army to fight them. So they ran away. They ran away back into Syria and the places they came from. They just ran away. They felt frightened, they got scared, and they ran away. Okay? So now the prophet... Okay, now, the purpose of the mission was fulfilled, which is to scare the Romans from messing up with the people, Muslims, who live in the north of the Arabian Peninsula. Okay, so now, the prophet started going back. Go ahead.
But why were they scared of the Muslims?
They scared of fighting them, because the Muslims' reputation was that they are aggressive, strong, brave fighters.
Yeah, because if you think about it, if you died... As a Muslim, you die for the sake of Allah, right? So you instantly go to Jannah, inshallah. So that means, knowing this, you do anything because you're going to die anyway, right? And you're fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're willing to do crazy things in order to win the fight. Like there was that one time you told us about how they would ride with their elephants right up to the army.
Yes. Yes.
No, ride on their horses and then cut the trunks of the elephants.
Yes, it's like very dangerous. Mission. when they get so close from the, it's a war elephant, okay? It's not a zoo elephant, okay? Zoo elephants are nice, but this is a war elephant. And then they wanted to get rid of this elephant. And then the elephant, on the top of the elephant, there are soldiers, okay? So in order for you to come very close to the elephant, to cut the trunk of the elephant, in order for you to do that, you have to come so close that it becomes like almost, you're almost like sure that you're going to be killed. But they didn't care, and they did it. Many of them got killed, but the others did the work. Others did what they needed to do. What happened is that when they cut the trunk of the elephant said, "Oh!" And then the elephant would drop the soldiers on the back. And then the elephant's going to turn around and run. And when the elephant turns around and run, okay, he runs over soldiers on the back and other elephants and things like that. You got it? So that was really a smart thing to do, but it was very, very dangerous thing to do as well. Okay, so anyway, they heard that the prophet coming, so they ran away. So okay, so now they are taught the lesson. So now the prophet goes back to Medina. And when he goes back to Medina, there are two kinds of people. The ones that are hypocrites, they didn't go. And they didn't want to go, and they did not feel sorry for not going at all. Okay? And there's those three believers that procrastinated to the last minute, and they missed it. They are not hypocrites. They are true believers. But they made a mistake. So the prophet came back, and then the people that did not go to war started visiting with him and giving excuses. Oh, my son was sick. Okay. Prophet says, okay. Oh, my wife was pregnant. Okay. Oh, I suffered from a fever. Okay. The prophet will just accept their excuses. Whatever excuses they give, the prophet accepted it. And then he said, Allah is going to judge you at the end. Okay, so your judgment, Allah is the one who knows exactly the truth about you. Allah is going to take care of you. So now here is the turn of Ka'b. Ka'b was one of the what? Three who didn't go. And they are good believers. So when he was going to the prophet, his family members told him, Hey, don't say, give an excuse, any excuse. Come up with an excuse. The prophet will accept the excuse and dismiss you. And you're fine, just like he did with all these other guys, which are the hypocrites. So he started thinking about it. However, when he entered to meet the prophet, now the prophet looked at him like that. It's different because the prophet knows that he's a good guy, good believer, not the hypocrite. So the prophet looked at him like that. It was like, It was like, okay. Why did you miss? Where are you? So he could not lie. He said, "Your Prophet Muhammad, I have absolutely no excuse. I had the right, I had the money, I had the health, I had the time. I didn't have any excuse. No excuses for me. I've done something wrong. No excuses for me." So the Prophet ﷺ looked at him like that, and then the Prophet said, "Okay, go to your home and stay in your home and don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anybody." Okay? And then the Prophet told the companions not to talk to him. So he went back, and then they told him, "See, we told you. You could have just made up any reason, any excuse, and you'd be fine." He said, "No." He said, "I thought about it, and I was almost about to go back and give a false excuse. But my conscience, my faith prevented me." So he started, he accepted this punishment, and he abided by the punishment of the Prophet. So the Prophet told everybody not to talk to him. So when he gives salam, when he's walking to Medina, "Salamu alaykum, wa alaykum as-salam." When he gives salam, "Salamu alaykum," nobody will answer him. "Salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum. Was this okay? Nobody wants to talk to him. The Prophet said no one talks to him. So he felt so terrible. So terrible. And then the second step was that the Prophet ﷺ told him to stay home. To stay home. Don't leave home. So they started, it's just like a, it's like a prison. Started being a prison to him. So now the Romans heard the news. So they sent a messenger to Ka'b. They told him, we heard that your leader has deserted you and you are welcome in our land. So please come join us. So he said, oh, that's another test. And then he tore apart the letter and he threw the letter in the fire. Okay, so he didn't, he rejected that wicked offer from the leader of the Roman Empire or from the Romans. Okay, so now, is that it? No. The Prophet later came in and said, send your wife home to her family. Don't keep your wife with you at home. So it's really getting worse and worse not to talk to him. Stay home and let your wife out of your home, go back to her family, to live with her family. And he did. Remember, they were what? How many of them? Three of them. Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal ibn Umayyah. I forgot the third guy. But anyway, one of them was an old man. Okay? And that old man needed help, you know? So this old man asked for the Prophet to, his wife said, he's weak and I want to be able to help him. So the Prophet accepted that and he said, yes, you can be with your husband. You can be with your husband, no problem. But the other two, including Ka'b, they sent their wives home. And then they felt miserable, and started crying and repenting and crying and repenting until Allah sent the ayah in the Surah At-Tawbah that they, those three are forgiven by Allah. So he, Ka'b, was sitting at the roof, not the roof, the top floor, the top uncovered floor, okay? The roof, you can call it this. They used to sit on the roof.
Terrace.
Huh?
Terrace, like the top floor.
Terrace, yeah. They call it terrace.
Uh-huh.
They used to sit on the terrace. So he was sitting in the terrace, crying, miserable. And then he got a guy from far away running. Ka'b, the best news you can ever have in your life. Allah forgave you. So he said, I took the clothes that I have and I gave it to him as a gift. The dress that I was wearing, I gave it to him as a gift. And then I dressed something else. Okay? This is how happy he was. And then when he was going to the Prophet, everybody congratulated him. Congratulations. Okay? So now, how is that related to the, how is this story related to the name At-Tawwab? Huh?
Because Allah allowed them to repent because they felt bad for what they had done.
Yes. Allah really punished them. Why? To forgive them and to make them repent. Huh?
Did the same happen to the other guys who made the excuses?
Yes. The verse in the Quran says, and about the three people who have, etc., etc. Yes.
How long was their punishment? How long do they like lose their life?
I don't know for sure, but I would say it's about like 45 days, sort of, like that. It was was a long time. And it was a terrible time. They are sad, they are miserable, they are hopeless. Okay? And then Allah forgave them. Okay? So, if Allah is not At-Tawwab, then Allah will curse them and that's it. Right? At-Tawwab, the same. Yes, if Allah is not At-Tawwab, then Allah would just curse them, and that's it. And Allah wouldn't care about them. But because Allah is At-Tawwab, and Allah knows their hearts, they have good hearts. because Allah knows that they are, because Allah is at the web, He gave them this lesson to learn. And then they stop. They really fix it themselves. Okay? So we'll stop here and continue the rest of the name at the web, inshallah, next time. If I may get the envelopes.